May it please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the Gospel of John chapter 10 and we'll read verse 14. The Gospel of John and chapter 10 and reading verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. It's very wonderful for us to realize that in the Word of God there are many illustrations which God gives us so that we're able to understand what we might refer to as the deep, which coucheth beneath. That means underneath the surface there is wonderful truth in the Word of God. And here in this 10th chapter, the Lord Jesus uses this very wonderful picture of sheep and a shepherd. I'm sure most of us are familiar with sheep, thankfully, in our country. We have many opportunities to see sheep in the fields and see them wandering about. And it is often a very pleasant sight, especially in the spring when we see the lambs being born and also frolicking around. So it's a wonderful natural picture for us. Well, the Lord Jesus, he refers himself as the Good Shepherd. That means he is the shepherd. Like a shepherd look after sheep naturally, he is the good shepherd and he looks after his people who are referred to as sheep. So we should be thankful that we have an illustration like this to direct us to the greatness of God, to the mercy of God, to the compassion of God, that he does continue to remember us. He doesn't forget us and he looks upon us. And so he says, I am the good shepherd. You may have noticed as we read this chapter, the same phrase occurs in a previous verse, in the 11th verse, where the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. And then it follows on to say, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. A shepherd today still has to look after sheep. Perhaps not quite the same in our country, but more specifically in the Middle East, where it's more of a nomadic life and there are small flocks of sheep and they have shepherds who look after them night and day and guide and direct them to places of pasture so that they can feed. And it's interesting to know that these shepherds, they do lead the flock and the flock do follow them. I remember years ago I was privileged when I was in Iraq, especially on a Sunday I was there and I was able to sit and I was able to watch a shepherd who had a flock and he was leading the flock and the flock very willingly followed him. But it was very significant that when they came to a difficult place where perhaps they were fearful of following, he then got behind them and actually drove the little flock across the difficult place so that they got across safely. And therefore we can think of that in a spiritual way. The Lord does lead his people. Sometimes we need a lot of encouragement to perhaps walk in a certain way. We may be very fearful of that which is before us. And perhaps the Lord does come then, and perhaps, as it were, prods us and pushes us and directs us to go on and to not stay back. And so, as we have an account like this in this Word of God, to realize that today we have this heavenly shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure you are familiar with David. David was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd, and he was very able, therefore, to write about being a shepherd. And he wrote, as you probably know, that beautiful 23rd Psalm, and it starts off with those words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And what does that mean? Well, David had complete confidence in God as his shepherd. And that if God was his shepherd, as he believed he was, and as he'd experienced that he was, he knew that he had no cause to fear any evil, because God was with him, and God was instructing him, and God was directing him. We should be very thankful, therefore, that God hasn't changed. He's the same today. And as David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The Lord knows where those places of blessing are. He knows where there are still waters in comparison with a stormy sea. And the Lord directs us and brings us into these places where we are favoured to have union and communion with the heavenly shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing then to know indeed that he is the good shepherd. And he knows about us, and he knows exactly what we need. David knew it, and he knew it in a very specific way, because David was a man that wandered like we do, a man that had a heart like we do, a man that sometimes sinned like we do. Many things David was aware of. And he tells us he, this heavenly shepherd, came to David and restored his soul. You may say, well, what is the relevance of that? Well, sometimes in our lives, you know, we can become, hard-hearted. Perhaps we can be far off. Perhaps we can become worldly-minded. And therefore our soul is not healthy as it should be. And yet what a mercy to realize that we have a shepherd who knows about us and knows what we need, just like an earthly shepherd with a flock. And he comes and restores our soul. When I was a student, I used to go and work on a farm, Easter holidays and summer holidays. And the farm that I worked on, the farmer had a flock of sheep. And it was instructive, really, to notice how that flock had to be looked after. He couldn't just leave the flock to wander around. He would often go and count the sheep, first of all, to make sure they were all there. And then secondly, he would stand and carefully watch them to see whether any of them were limping about, or whether perhaps they had other diseases. And he would carefully watch them all to see whether there were any problems. And if there were, it was interesting what he had to do. He wasn't able just to, say, single out one and go and catch that single sheep. That would have been very difficult. But he had to herd all the sheep into a pen. So they were all together then, and the sheep followed one another. They all went into the pen, and then he was able then to go and take the sheep which had a problem and grasp it easily and take it out from the pen and then deal with it, whatever was necessary. So we see how the Lord dealt. And also there were those times, used to be, not quite so much nowadays, but every year all the flock had to be dipped, had to pass through a bath of water with some type of disinfectant put in it, and they had to pass right through it and remain in it for quite a few seconds, and the farmer made sure they were completely covered. He used to, with a rod, push the head underneath the water so that they were completely immersed, so that they were freed from the various bugs which could easily have an adverse effect. Well, you see, the Lord knows about us today in our little lives. And isn't it wonderful to think that this shepherd, this gracious shepherd, he looks at us. He knows what we need. He watches us. He sees whether we are perhaps lame and whether we do need perhaps restoring. Well, David was able to tell us, "He restoreth my soul." And it's very humbling to think this great God looks upon us utterly insignificant and unworthy of any notice, and yet he takes us in hand. He brings us perhaps out of the flock and deals with us to restore us to spiritual health and strength. So that once again we're not lame. You know, sometimes the sheep were lame because they used to get what is termed foot rot, and the hoof needed to be dealt with, the horn needed to be cut off and painted with some medical substance so that it would heal. And you see, you and I sometimes need to be dealt with like that. We might be lame in the things of God. We're not walking very well. Perhaps we're definitely not running. We're not even walking very well. It may be because we're lame. And we need the Lord to come and to graciously cut out that which is infected, that which is not good, and treat it accordingly. Well, the Lord knows, you see, what we need. Well, it's good, isn't it, to realise that a natural shepherd looks after his sheep. The heavenly shepherd looks after his sheep. And how glorious it is to realise this great God who has so many sheep in this vast world, so many people to look after. None are forgotten. We're not forgotten. God knows where we are. He knows what we need. He knows our spiritual condition. What a blessing, therefore, to realise, yes, this gracious God looks upon me. And to be able to come like David says, "He restoreth my soul." Brings me, perhaps, once again into a healthy condition. You may say, well, what does that mean? Well, just very simply, it may be we become lukewarm. And of course, the Word of God speaks against a lukewarm Christian. In the seven churches, the last church referred to was the church in Laodicea. And the criticism of that was that they were lukewarm. Well, many people today are indeed lukewarm. And we need the Lord to come and to restore our soul and make us once again healthy. And surely that results in perhaps our Bible reading may have been pushed to the background. We may not have read it, at least we may not have read it with any real desire. And we found that we weren't so keen to read it as we were. And perhaps the same with prayer. We may have been praying a lot, and now that's kind of gone into the background, and now just a few words suffice, and we just rush through it. Well, what a mercy then if we are in that condition, and God knows, and you know, and I know, to realise that here we have a great and glorious promise. He restoreth my soul. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He knows about us. He knows what we need. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't just leave us to fend for ourselves. He's ever watchful. Be mindful of that. The Lord is ever watchful on all his people. And so David says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the reason for that is to bring honour and glory to his great and holy name. You see, it's a good thing naturally to have a healthy flock. Again, sometimes I used to go to the market to watch the sheep being sold. And the auctioneer sometimes would make a comment about a particular flock and a particular farmer. And he would sometimes be very complimentary and say, well, this flock's been looked after well. This farmer's very careful and very caring what he does. Well, that's true, my friends, with the whole household of faith. God's flock, he looks after. He's a good shepherd. He doesn't leave us to just wander on aimlessly. What a mercy then today to be able to come and recognize, yes, I do have a good shepherd. I wonder if you and I can look back in our lives. Look back perhaps maybe over the last week, maybe the last month, perhaps a year, to be able to come and say, yes, I have a good shepherd. He's dealt with me in love to my soul. I understand what David wrote. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, says David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, that clearly is not an easy path, is it? The shadow of death means that death appears to be very close. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's able to say, I fear no evil. And why does he fear no evil? Because he has a good shepherd. And what does he say of this good shepherd? For thou art with me. For thou art with me. He had the blessed evidence of it in his life. Thou art with me. You know the previous verse that I referred to, the 11th verse, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. What a wonderful shepherd we have, who gave his life that you and I might receive life. This is the greatness of this heavenly shepherd. And so David's able to say, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That means the sheep were being directed by the good shepherd. And what a mercy that is for us today to realize the Lord is with us. And surely this must be a comfort as you and I journey on through life, a comfort that the Lord is with us. And he goes on, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He experienced the love of God. He experienced the favour of God. He experienced unity with God. He experienced the glorious evidence that God was with him. And because of that, he was able to say, my cup runneth over, not only full, but blessed so greatly It overflowed with the goodness and mercy of God. Well, especially you see, as go back in this psalm to those words, "He restoreth my soul." I think then of the great blessing of God to bring David to such a condition, and to bring the Church of God to such a condition, and to bring you and me to such a wonderful and blessed condition. So we're able to say, "My cup runneth over." Well, it's a good thing if we do enter into the evidence of God's work upon us, so that we are able to testify in such words. And we should desire to be able to testify in such words. And therefore, he's able to come and conclude with this wonderful last verse, the sixth verse in this 23rd Psalm. So he has here this confidence. Well, it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit has shown to us the love and mercy and compassion of this good shepherd toward us, so that we're able to come with David with a humble but sure and true confidence. Surely, because of this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, be they few or be they many. God is faithful. Now let's not forget that. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. God is faithful. Surely, therefore, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he concludes with this glorious statement, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He was able to have that confidence in his God, and therefore to look beyond this life to that time of glory. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now the blessing is this: if you and I are the sheep of this blessed flock of God, and to have the evidence that God is dealing with us as his sheep, then this is true, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because none of God's sheep are lost. They may wander away. God knows where they go. God's watching over them. You may remember that wonderful parable the Lord Jesus gave about the 99 sheep in the wilderness. There were 99, and one had wandered off. The Lord knew where that sheep was, and he went after that sheep, and he picked up that sheep, and he put it on his shoulders, and brought it back to the flock. Surely that is what this means here: "He restoreth my soul." And so, you see, the Lord never leaves his flock. He never leaves his sheep. His eye is always upon them. And may you and I be encouraged by that truth. Surely then, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Remember, be there many or few, every day God's goodness and mercy is toward us. We don't always realize it. We don't always acknowledge it. But it's good sometimes to just come aside and to meditate upon the Lord's goodness and mercy. And be able, therefore, to conclude with David as he had this good and humble confidence in his God, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, sometimes we're perhaps fearful of our profession and fearful for our spiritual life. But it's good, you know, that when we're able to look into the way that the Lord God has led us, the way the Lord God has blessed us, in those ways, in those paths, that we cannot but acknowledge it is the work of God. And to realize, therefore, these words are very true. I am the good shepherd, and the Lord says, he knows my sheep and am known of mine. That means, in a double aspect, it means the Lord knows us and also that we know the Lord. You see, it's a two-way thing. And it's a great encouragement as we have these experiences to know that God is mindful of us and God is dealing with us in love to our souls. What a blessing it is then to come into this situation and realize, because the Lord says further on in this same 10th chapter, in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That means security. That means we're safe in the arms of Jesus. That means the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. The Lord knows every one of his sheep. And my friends, he deals with every one of his sheep. And the evidence of spiritual life is to know that God is dealing with us. As he dealt with David, as he dealt with all the patriarchs, as he's dealt with the saints of God down through time, as he deals with us still today, he deals with his people. I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And that means very wonderfully and very solemnly and very truthfully that every single sheep, put it naturally, every single child of God, without any exception, because it says here, my sheep, it's inclusive, my sheep hear my voice. Well, therefore, what a blessing it is if we have this great evidence that we are a child of God, that we are one of God's sheep, part of his flock, because we have heard his voice. In whatever way that may be. And it may be, I sometimes think of the word of God is wonderful in illustrations. You remember there was Elisha, a great man of God, who expected, as he stood in that cave's mouth, to hear God's word speaking powerfully to him. And there was thunder and lightning, there was an earthquake and there was winds, but God's voice wasn't in that to him. And how did God's voice come to Elijah? It came like this, a still, small voice. Don't expect a great roaring voice. But what a blessing if God has touched your heart, perhaps nudged your conscience, perhaps directed you in a right way, a different way from what you were doing. Your conscience was affected. Your mind was moved. And it was the still, small voice of God. But it was the voice of God. The Word of God tells us this. We're not to despise the day of small things. Never turn away from something which you may think is so small, it's not worth noticing. Still, small voice. It had an effect upon Elijah. It had an effect. And what a wonderful thing is, if it has an effect upon you and me. See, that's really the proof that it emanates from God. Because it's not something you'll want to throw away. Because God, in his love to your soul, has come and spoken. Remember then, my sheep hear my voice. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. So it is, you see, as I said, a two-way position. God knows us, and we do know him. And we want to know him. My friends, we don't want to wander on aimlessly through life without having evidence that we are a child of God, without having evidence that we are one of God's sheep. We want to have the wonderful evidence that we are, because when the Lord gives us that humble confidence that we are, I believe there is a fulfillment then of these words and a desire to follow that which the word tells us here. And I know them, and they follow me. As I've said, sheep follow the shepherd. And again, going back to my student days when I used to go and work on the farm, I used to go with the farmer sometimes to the sheep, and sometimes I used to go by myself to do certain things. If the farmer went, the sheep knew him, and he really, just by walking amongst them, they came to him, or he would call them and they would come to him. But if I did it, they didn't know me, and they didn't take any notice. I was just some interloper. Well, my friends, what a blessing it is then, when we see the blessed and glorious shepherd of our souls. And because we know him, because we've heard his voice, we're attracted to him. And we want to go with him. And we want to follow him where he leads. And so here we have this statement here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And you know, it won't be a hardship. It'll be a privilege. And it'll be a joy to be a true follower, to have the evidence that we are one of God's children. What a blessing, because as I read, the next verse tells us, and I give unto them eternal life. You and I can never receive a greater gift, can we, than eternal life. Yes, because then we are eternally safe, and we shall spend eternity in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit, and with the whole Church of God. It's a glorious prospect. It's a wonderful consideration. It's good to meditate on these things and to have the evidence that because God has spoken to us, we have, therefore, this proof that God has given unto us eternal life. My friends, what a blessing. It exceeds everything in this earth, the gift of eternal life. Well, this morning, may we be able to, before God, examine ourselves and ponder our path, whether it agrees with what we've said. You see, the greatest sinner that ever lived, that's why we have great sinners referred to in the Word of God, like Manasseh and like Mary Magdalene and others, but they were saved sinners. What happened? They heard the voice of Jesus. And they had the evidence that therefore they were one of Christ's children. They were part of the family. They were part of the heavenly flock. What a blessing that is, if you and I have the evidence of it. And my friends, these are the important things. You know, we get very concerned, don't we, about many things in our life. The Lord Jesus spoke, didn't he? And he said this, one thing is needful. And he was referring to Mary, who was sat at his feet to hear his voice. Martha was very concerned, but he didn't reprimand her and say, well, why doesn't Mary come and help me in all that I'm doing? One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Well, may God bless us for choosing that good part. And that means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow that one who is described as a despised and crucified man. Naturally, nothing to attract us, but spiritually, a glorious attraction. I think that this man was so willing to lay down his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. To think that this great Saviour, this great shepherd of the sheep, has laid down his life so that you and I might receive this great and wonderful gift of eternal life. Nothing less would pay the price which was upon our head to redeem our soul. Nothing less. It was the price of blood, and it was the perfect price paid by the Saviour, who lived the perfect life in order to redeem our souls. Well, I hope this morning you have to come and say, what a Saviour that should have looked upon me, unworthy of any notice, and yet this great and glorious shepherd of the sheep, he looked upon me, he spoke to me, and I have the evidence today that this blessed Saviour is the good shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is the one who's found me. You know, Jacob said, he found me in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led me about. He instructed me, kept me as the apple of his eye. What a blessing to have such a great and glorious Saviour who's dealt with us so wonderfully, so gloriously, for his honour and for his glory and for his praise. Well, this morning, I hope we can truly enter in to these words. It's a wonderful account, it's a wonderful truth, but how wonderful if we know that Christ is our heavenly shepherd, and that he has given his life for me, that I might receive this great and wonderful gift of eternal life. Well, says the Lord himself, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows us and am known of mine, and we know him. Well, may it be so. And may we go on our way rejoicing if we have the evidence that we are a born again child of God.